scripture reading for this morning is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Colossians, the third chapter, beginning with verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. All of a sudden, he sat up and he pointed at the television and he said, "I just drove past that." My dad and I were watching the evening news many years ago, and he had just come to visit us in Minneapolis, and apparently on his way up had passed a horrific car accident where a large tanker truck going around an intersection had somehow tipped over on top of a small car. The report went on to describe this 20-year-old young man who had been killed in his car on his way home from work that day. It was about 5:30 when it happened. And I remember my dad said, as we were watching this, he said, "Man, just think of that guy. He's on his way home from work, probably thinking about, I think it was a Friday, thinking about all of the things that you're going to do for the weekend and all the important things going on in your life. And just like that, he's in eternity." But then he said something that really stuck with me. He said, "I wonder if he was ready. I wonder if he was ready." It's pretty safe to assume that that young man met what we would call an unexpected departure from this life. There's a tendency inside of all of us to kind of take our relationship with God, at whatever point that's in, whether it's strong or weak or non-existent. But as far as a relationship with God, there's a tendency inside of all of us to kind of set it off to the side in our life, to think that we have a lot more important things going on than to be concerned about that, even if we've been taught to know that it is important and should be important to us. George Gallup, who operates what's become known as the Gallup poll and Gallup studies, himself being a Christian, does a lot of research on churches. And according to a report that he put out about 10, 12 years ago, he said that he had done a lot of research on people in various stages of life, and that the stage of life from age 17 to 23 is the stage of life when people are the most susceptible to falling away from their religious convictions. Those tend to be rather crucial years. And for those of you here in college, that's exactly where you are, in those, for most of you anyway, in that frame. So why is that? What is it about this stage of life that makes it more challenging, possibly, to stay in our faith? Well, one is that you're finally now out from the daily control and presence, you might say, of your parents, although they might text you four times a day now. You're enjoying an element of freedom in your life. On top of that, you have a lot to look forward to in your future. Just think of all the things as you start college now that you're planning for, and all the stuff ahead of you and your studies and other activities, the things that you want to do in the future and all the dreams that you have, and those are great. They're wonderful. But all of that can also make us forget about God and our relationship with Him. And then what I would call the big one, the biggest one, is this. All of us tend to just naturally, in our minds, have this sort of, even though it's not nailed down to a particular day, a sort of expected date to depart this life. We just have kind of a concept in our mind that there is a time coming when that will probably happen to me. And when we're, the younger we are, the more tendency there is to think that it's far, far away. And that's probably true for most of us. It wasn't for that young man that day under the tanker truck. But thinking that we have so much time to wait is probably one of the greatest temptations. If you're like me, there's a a tendency inside of myself to treat my relationship with God kind of the way I think of a fire extinguisher. It's kind of there, and you know it's important, and it's kind of on the wall. It's maybe off to the side, and you know if you ever really, really need that, you can run and use it. But it's not something that you necessarily feel you have to use in your day-to-day life. And I think we're often tempted to think of God in that way as well. But have you ever noticed that whenever a crisis situation arises, whenever there's a horrible flood or some dramatic event that happens that takes life and so on, have you ever noticed in the TV interviews how spiritually minded everybody becomes? How much they suddenly start talking about God and the need to have God in their life and so on? If we truly realized our mortal condition in this life because of the fall into sin and how it's affected us, we would realize how desperately we need him all the time. Inside of humanity, inside of people, is this soul that has a built-in hunger for God, even though we may suppress that at times and pretend like it doesn't exist. Well, from God's perspective, his primary concern is to prepare you for that day of your departure, whether it is something that will be unexpected to you or expected. His primary concern is to get you ready for that. Now, a lot of people think that the way I'm best ready for that is to try and keep my life record as clean and good as I can, and hopefully it's good enough I can hold it up to God on the day of judgment and say, "Can you let me into heaven? Look how nice my life has been. Isn't this good enough?" But the Bible comes to us, God's word, and speaks the truth. And it says, all of our righteousness, in other words, even the best thing we can produce, all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. We have nothing to hold before God that will change his mind and let you into heaven someday. But the joy that we have in the gospel is this, that God, in his heart, was moved to rescue you, was moved to take dramatic steps for you personally and for your future. And he did this by sending his own son into this world to take on human flesh, to live out a holy, perfect life on your behalf, and to take his very body and offer it as a sacrifice to his Father in order to make complete payment and atonement for all the things that are wrong on our lists. So that I can stand in front of you today, and every day in chapel, someone can stand up here and declare to you with great joy in our hearts that your sins are entirely forgiven for the sake of God's own Son. And the Bible promises that those who have faith in him and trust in him and put their confidence of getting to heaven in him, that God gives them the certainty of walking through the gates into heaven someday. Jesus says it so simply, "Whosoever believes in me will never die." And so coming to hear that word is the way that God prepares your heart and keeps your heart ready for that day that you depart, whether it's an expected day or unexpected. But here's the great irony, in a sense. In keeping you focused on leaving this life, and by having that word regularly in your life and daily life, God also teaches you how to live. His word has so much to say about maybe the decades of life that you're going to live here. I hope it's a long life. I hope that you are centenarians. I hope that Willard Scott is talking about you someday. That you've lived such a long life. You're too young to know Willard Scott. Anyway, knowing what Christ has done for you and knowing what his word means in your day-to-day life is what St. Paul is addressing here. God's word has something to say about every relationship in your life, about every aspect of your life and how you deal with your life. And so God would have you, rather than looking at him and your relationship with him, rather than looking at that like a fire extinguisher that you just run to when you need to, instead he invites you to see it like breathing. Like breathing. Listen to the words of our text again. They're a great summary of what this sanctuary is all about for us on this campus. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." I invite you to come in here and take a deep breath of God every day. Amen. Please rise. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for the gift of your holy word by which you teach us the truth of our fallen condition, but more importantly, where you have taught us the wonderful hope that we have in Christ Jesus our Lord. We pray that this word would continue to dwell in our hearts, and with great joy in our hearts, that you would cause us to sing your praises continually. We ask it all in our Savior's glorious name.